You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 145. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Cap'n America.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America with a K on Instagram. Also, where are we on?
We're in Lost in America Pod
on Instagram.
On Instagram, it's spelled out. On Twitter, there's Lost N America Pod. Just in a
and we are www.lostinamericapod.com, which gets you everything. It gets you every one of our episodes. It gets you a link to our Patreon for all of our wrap-up shows.
Most importantly, send that
we've done two wrap-up shows now. Last week, we talked about producer Matt's bachelor party he went to in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, we came out hot against the band Fish, too. So we got a lot of content. I went into the history of my writing career, so a lot there you missed out on.
We're not going to repeat it
on this podcast.
Absolutely not. We went deep into Cap's writing career. Cap's been a writer for 20 years, and we wanted to figure out what's he been writing. Where's it been going? If it's been published, where has it been published? Guess what? If you want to know those answers, you got to listen to the wrap-up show. Go to lostinamericapod.com, click the Patreon link. It'll take you to the site where you can sign up for $5 a month. You can get our wrap-up show every Thursday into your podcast player.
Podcast player. Is that a thing?
I think that's what they're called, right? Because you can't say your iPhone because not everyone has an iPhone. Some people are Android people.
All right, those people. All right.
So whatever you use for podcasts, it'll come straight to you. That's patreon.com/lostinamerica if you want to just go look it up. Cap.
Yeah.
My album comes out September 6th. Which is this Friday. My album comes out this Friday. You can get it. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on, I think, Spotify, maybe. It's going to be everywhere. You can also, Amazon. Do they sell albums on Amazon?
We don't promote Amazon in this podcast.
Oh, you're right. We don't promote Amazon.
Walmart.
You can probably get it. No, I don't know if you can get it at Walmart. Maybe. I don't know. Comedy Dynamics. The label takes care of all that for me. La-ti-da. And then more on that. If you want to buy it, it's now available for pre-sale. Go to turnersparks.com, lostamericapod.com. It's going to be there. Click the link, and then you can buy it pre-sale on iTunes. The more pre-sale we get, the better chance it has of going to number one on iTunes when it comes out. So I really want everybody to
number
do that.
Number one.
I think it can do it. A lot of comics in New York I know can go to number one.
Oh.
Because it's whoever sells the most amount of comedy albums that day.
Oh. All right.
So
we should pick one day to really promote it.
Well, no. So if everyone buys pre-sale, then everyone buys it on the day it comes out, Friday the 6th. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that day it can shoot to number one.
Okay.
So that's kind of the strategy. The more pre-sales you have, the more it just zooms right up.
Maybe you think it'll be like when to always use Howard Stern analogy, his book Private Parts was like number one, but then there was like a bookstore that wouldn't show the book. They wouldn't count it as number one.
Probably
like change the like list or something.
There'll be some losers out there
that
won't
admit
count
that
it.
He was number one. So yeah. they establish won't want to admit you're number one, but we'll know.
They might, but they probably won't. But we'll see. Maybe they will. No, it happens for like comics who've been on this pod. You don't have to be that. I think it's like if you sell like 100,
yeah,
you're number one. Because how many comedy albums are getting sold in a single day? Especially ones that came out years ago, you know? Not right. a lot. So all it right. doesn't take a lot. So if everybody jump on it. Also, if you want a signed, if you want the physical CD and you want it signed, just email me, turner@kungfucomedy.com. I will send you, we'll link up on PayPal, whatever. I'll send you a signed copy of the album.
Nice. Good
That's
deal.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to buy it, but I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Pretty good. All right, Cap.
You know what I'm going to promote it to?
What?
I've got a stalker who's calling me.
Great.
And I'm going to promote it. This is the I've mentioned I had a heart attack. People, new listeners.
Heard of it.
And one of the many perks is I got a free scale.
Oh, yeah.
My health insurance, they called me up and they gave me this whole counseling session. And they said, we're going to send you a scale. And they didn't mention anything else. And then every day, they keep calling me. Like, I get these phone calls, and it's a nurse from Oxford. Like, I've given away all of my privacy.
Oxford insurance.
Oxford's my insurance.
Yeah.
I've given away all of my privacy to get a free scale, essentially what I did.
That's ridiculous.
Because it's like, it links, I weigh myself.
Okay.
And it links to them, and then I answer a couple questions about myself.
Yeah.
And they get all the data, and look at it. But if I forget to do it 2 days in a row, because if you become a little vain, you weigh yourself every day.
Yeah, nobody does that.
So then they call me up, and they're like, they think I'm like drop dead or something if I go 3 days. So they call me today.
Yeah.
I have my whole chat with them. I answer a bunch of questions, and my leg's swollen, or this, that. Next time she's going to say, is there anything else I could do for you when she calls me in 2 days?
Buy the album.
I'm say turnersparks.com.
There you go.
Go away, buy that, yeah.
Pick it up. Yeah. Cap, should we get to Lost in America?
Let's play the music.
Back, Kaplan. This week we got big news. It looks like pretty soon you might be joining the illustrious Friars Club in New York City.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
But it's kind of up to me if you join or not.
How so?
Because I have to give you a recommendation, being a member myself, and I'm looking it over right now. I have the power to recommend you or not recommend you to join the Friars Club.
You're called the proposer is what it says, right?
I'm the proposer. That, yeah, I already gave a couple of these out to like Weber and somebody else, and I didn't realize that I had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So I just told them to send it in, and a couple of them did without any recommendation
from
me.
And the Friars Club's going to be like, we don't want people in our club who don't read, who don't even get it, you know.
Well, I'm still in, but those people are going to get denied because they have no one endorsing them. Mm. So, too bad. Too bad for you,
Maybe
Joe
Maybe they
Garrick's.
Find Larry King in the bathroom or something and can get a
Yeah, exactly.
For
so, Cap, first is for you. First, you have to describe your desire. Why are you seeking a membership of the Friars Club? Let's just do this on the air, and then we'll have Producer Matt will take notes.
All right. Well, number one is that I've been there before, and I have excellent little hot dogs, as we've discussed.
Oh, so you're flattering
I want to be a member of any club that has excellent little hot dogs that
good.
Understands
That's a good way to start. Flattery.
Flattery, yes. I need to... I'm an adult now. I'm 41 years old. I've had a heart attack. I have two kids. But to positive here, I think I fit in with the demographics really well.
Oh, because they're like 70.
They're all 70. I know the people well. I spend all this time at cardiac rehab with their people.
Yeah.
I'm really good with the old people.
Old Jewish people.
Old Jewish people are my people.
Yeah.
And I need to improve my... I dress still like a schlub.
You do.
I need someone to force me. The same way the Patreon's going to force me to write.
Yes.
I need a club that's going to force me to wear shoes and pants. So this Friars Club, because we had a pod meeting last night, and you were at the Friars Club, right? We couldn't even meet you because I'm wearing shorts. Weber's wearing shorts.
Yeah.
We're not welcome there.
No.
So I need... those are the things I'm looking forward to.
Can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead.
From the side of someone who's at the club reviewing your application... All the I think you're supposed to say stuff that you'll offer to them, not just stuff you'll take. You're kind of taking off the table now by saying, ooh. Well, you'll make me dress better.
Oh, I misunderstood the
question. I'll have a heart attack on your premises again, probably, which means that's not that positive.
Right.
Then you could just sue
I
them.
Won't use the Schwitz room because I can't, because of the heart attack, I can't do the steam, any of that stuff. So I won't take up a spot.
Okay. Oh, okay. So there'll be extra.
Extra. It's like a member that's not ruining your. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
If I'm in the locker room, I will. I don't know. Wear a towel. I'm not gonna be like one of those old
negative.
Guys.
That's a negative.
Yeah.
All the old
guys
don't
just walk around carefree.
No, they want carefree.
Oh, they want carefree. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So what can I offer them?
You can offer them. Yeah, it's a lot of things that you won't do. I think that you won't take a place in the Schwitz room. That's big. And maybe that you won't use the exercise equipment because you might have another heart attack. So,
oh, I kind of want to use the exercise equipment because I feel like the confidence. Again, it's like cardiac rehab. It's like I'm going to feel.
But compared to them.
I'm going
to
feel dominant. Yeah, and then I'm going to make them look bad. So that's not good. Something to advertise.
What about Bob? Can you do anything with your old boss there?
Well, he's a member already. So what do you mean? I get it. I'll encourage
him to show up more.
I'll encourage him to show up.
I got a little secret for you. I think that's probably the number one request they would have.
Yes.
Get Bob
I'll
to
encourage
show up
him to show up.
That's good. That's actually all you have to
I'll
write.
I'll write jokes for people if they, you know, ask me to without credit. I don't know.
Without credit, it's a big one.
I assume that's why they want me in there.
That's good. Yeah. All right. These are good so far. Now I have to say how long I've known you. Oh, this is easy for you because it's like 20 years. But some of these people, I'll be honest, it's not that long.
Yeah, there you go.
And state fully why, what you know of the applicant's character and reputation. Mm. I mean, number one's the heart attack, which puts you...
That's good for my character?
No, it's like an iffy thing because you could have another heart attack there, as I've said before.
Oh, it's a liability for them.
It's a liability. How's so you need to guarantee... Actually, here's what
the
you
near hospital.
Guarantee
there.
You won't sue them. Put that on... Get a blue shirt.
All right, won't sue.
Get the lawyer to say you...
I might not be allowed to eat the little hot dogs then. Shoot. We should just leave with that. Anyway, now, Levy.
Mustard isn't going to save you from a heart attack.
How does alt middle go over there?
They don't. I think great. What's their political views? I would assume... Probably hands off.
I'm asking you.
I don't know.
I don't think the Friars Club's like super one side or the other, are they?
They're not a deep
secret political organization, as far as I know.
I don't know. Is there any deep secret stuff I need to know about beforehand? Like, is there a blood oath? Do I have to give a blood transfusion to like a
It's all that. Well, the basement. Yeah, the basement is more of a dungeon.
Okay.
And you might be stuck down there for a couple weeks.
All right.
But as long as you can handle that. As long as you can swear, it's a lot of deep state stuff, you know, deep fakes. That's where they do those.
Right.
As long as you swear that you know nothing about, you know, Pizzagate, that's where it all started, that kind of stuff.
All right.
Did I say that? I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, you really screwed that up.
But, yeah, those kind of things.
All right.
I think you'll be fine. So, all right, we got to keep the listeners updated on what happens with that.
And what are you going to say about my character? You got anything good to say?
Oh, your character's great, except for the heart attack.
Except for the heart attack.
Yeah. You'll be good. You got kids. You'll be good on that. They do holiday events there for kids.
Oh,
so
yeah?
Your kids can go mix it up. You know,
holiday
getting fights with other little kids.
I hope they aren't going to bring. They got like a nice menorah or something. Where they got to go.
They do. Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
It's a Friars Club.
All right.
They do a Christmas party and then they do a. No, that's not the only one. You don't have to go to that. They do.
I'll bring Ruby to that.
Hanukkah, everything.
All right.
The high holidays aren't that? That's what we.
That's
call
what I'm wondering. Do they have like a? Yeah. Do
of
a little,
course. Oh, my,
I go,
of course.
And go. They have Hebrew school. I can skip that.
No. Probably. I'm going to say yes.
All right. I'm joining in time for the high holidays.
You're good. All right.
I'm looking for the initiation ceremony. We'll check back in after that. Right?
That's a good idea.
If I get in.
If you get in, and Weber might be jumping in too, and then after the initiation ceremony where, yeah, that a lot of stuff goes down, we'll check back in.
Whatever I'm allowed to say.
Tell people how it went.
All right.
All right. That's it. Should we bring in Emily?
Yes.
Come on in. All right, we're back with our guest, Emily Walsh. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing it. You were on our Kung Fu comedy show, the Storyteller Show, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a great time.
A month ago. And you were telling stories about the amusement park in Asia, in Malaysia.
Malaysia.
Right?
Yes.
And I wanted to get you on to learn more about that. So, why were you at an amusement park in Malaysia? Let's
okay,
just start there.
So,
why were you working there, right?
Right. So I was working for a production company. For my day job, I am a scenic artist, which means that I paint scenery. So TV, theater, film, all that stuff. And when I was like 22 years old, I moved to New York City and I'd only ever done theater and I was looking for jobs. And it's kind of a weird landscape, like job-wise. You kind of just show up to shops and places that produce things and you show them your portfolio and what you've done before. And then they tell you whether or not they could use help, but it's not a permanent position. It's like we could use you for a month because we're doing a bunch of stuff and that kind of thing. So you're always like,
what kind of places would you even like show up to?
Scene shops. So they all build scenery for a lot of it in New York is for Broadway, like the reason people move here. But then once you're in the union that I'm in, you just do TV. So right now I'm working on the TV show Blue Bloods, which is incredibly boring for scenery because
they shoot a lot in Long Island City. Blue
they
Bloods.
Shoot a ton
in my apartment.
Long Island
yeah,
City.
They're always outside my apartment.
I feel like they're always outside mine too. In like Brooklyn, Cobble Hill, Brooklyn Heights.
Cause so one of there's all the fictitious like characters have different neighborhoods.
Oh,
so
where they
like
live.
Certain people, yeah, like Donnie Wahlberg's character lives in Deep Queens, and like his younger brother on the show is hipper, so he lives in Brooklyn. Like, so there's like a
who's
whole
the
thing.
One that lives in Long Island City, or they just don't even say it's Long Island City?
I mean, I think people just get murdered there.
Yeah,
because sure.
It's a nice scenery to get murdered because you got a whole Manhattan view.
Yeah, no, right? They love
and,
that.
And
landscape.
There's not a lot of traffic, so you can do like it's easy. I think they love to shoot because you can control the foot traffic well. If you're like
PA,
it doesn't stress PAs out at all because there's not a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
whereas here, yeah.
So you're doing design, like, wait, what'd you call it?
Well, so I went to school for scenic design. But what I actually do is scenic art. So I don't design what I'm painting. I get an elevation that's like an exact scale replica of what they want. So, like, if it was this wall that's this mural in the studio, I would get a little drawing and every foot would be an inch, you know, and so I'd have to replicate it. So you just go around and you say, like, I'm looking for work. This is my stuff, whatever. And I went to a shop in New Jersey and they were like, hey, grade portfolio. We don't need you. And I was like, cool. And so I went home and like had a sad corona in my apartment. And then the next day I got a phone call that was like, hey, can you go to New Jersey tomorrow? And I was like, of course I can. I'm broke. So I went and painted a bunch of scenery for this attraction in Mexico for this company. And I wasn't going to go to Mexico. I was just painting the stuff. And then like the next day they were like, hey, do you have a passport? I was like, no, I do not. And they were like, great, let's expedite it. Because that's a typical story, is expediting passports so you can paint a Terminator laser tag in Mexico City.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was the first time. And then we went to Malaysia. So I spent a month first in Mexico City.
I have a question. So if you're painting a laser tag in Mexico City, but you're doing it from New Jersey.
Yes.
How does that even... You're painting the walls, or what are you painting?
Well, so when we went to Mexico, we were painting the walls, and it was like three stories. So you go into the first story, and it's like a prep room, because it was like very fancy laser tag. So you were like on a team, and there was a storyline, and there were actors that were on your team, and like it was very, very elaborate. So wow. We painted a whole situation that was... looked like the Terminator movies, basically. And then there were two wow. stories of possible like gameplay. So it was like a lot of like rust and like concrete and just like making things
cool.
dirty.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I never got to play because we left like the week before it opened, but it didn't even open on time because the guns that they got were so realistic looking that they didn't clear customs right away.
No.
They like sat in customs and they were bragging for weeks, like the whole, cause we're down there for a month and they're like, it's going to be the best fucking laser tag. Like it's going to be so good. And then the guns couldn't get through for another
that's
couple
weeks.
That's
even better though.
Yeah, apparently.
That's how realistic the guns are. Is it still there? The laser tag place?
No, I thought it was going to be because every park like that is really cheap, you know, but it's been 10 years. And a friend of mine from work actually went to Mexico City Six Flags 2 weeks ago and was like, it's something else.
Wait, it was inside of Six Flags?
Yes, it was inside Six Flags Mexico City. So every day, me and my best friend, because they let me recommend the person who's going to work with me. So that was really great. And we went to Mexico City and we're working with all Australian carpenters that were roughly 50. It was like a company from Australia. So like five 50-year-old dudes and me and my best friend. So two 22-year-old American girls. And every day we'd work from like, I want to say it was like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Like we did a 12-hour day every day. We'd get in a van from the hotel. We'd drive to Six Flags Mexico City and we'd just work in the scare attraction. And then we'd go home and eat at the hotel. And like, they were paying us when the whole thing was over. So we had no money. Like we weren't getting paid while we were there.
Oh my gosh.
It was like one big check at the end. And so the only way they would pay for us to eat and drink is if we went with them, because they were like weird old dudes that were like, come to the bar with us.
The Australian guys?
Yeah. And so they would buy all
is
our drinks.
Is that legal?
Probably not.
It's Mexican.
Is that entrapment?
I mean, that wasn't even the worst of it. There was a laborer. So we had to, we had all these laborers that were Mexicans that were being paid like $20 American a day to help us out. And one of them thought that one of the Australians was my best friend's brother because they both had curly hair. That's literally the only thing they had in common. One of them's literally from Australia and 50. Claire's 22. And he's like, that's your sister. And basically offered to like buy her. And we thought he was joking. And he's like, oh, yeah, just a bottle of tequila, you know, whatever. That's all you need to get me. And he brought it the next day.
Oh, really?
And then he had to get fired.
Aww.
Yeah.
HR nightmare.
It was not great. Yeah, I mean, it was all harmless? I don't know. I mean,
like,
obviously.
Who was in charge? Like the Australians or the,
yes,
the Mexicans?
Yes, it's like a, so there was an Australian guy who started a company with a New Yorker. And so the company's mostly based out of Australia because they had, actually, they were trying to expand to America in a really big way in 2001. And they had just built this gigantic attraction because they used to do this thing in Madison Square Garden for Halloween, like now 25 years ago. And that was kind of their big thing in New York and in the United States. And that was all they did really here.
Like a haunted house?
Just a giant haunted house. And it was like Halloween town or
something. Does that still exist?
No. So,
that sounds so,
so
awesome.
They were going to do that. And then this is horrible, but they created this giant fucking attraction that was going to be in DC. And it was going to be their first thing in DC. And it was laser tag. It was guns.
In
it was
the, like, White House.
Yeah, basically in the West. Giant fucking guns, and it was a big, aggressive thing. It wasn't like a Halloween thing. It was like a gun thing. And they were set to open on, like, September 15th, 2001.
Oh.
So they had to just shut it down.
Timing.
Didn't that happen, like, a Wilco album or something?
Wilco album.
Probably. I missed a lot of things. I missed the bar mitzvah. Yeah, I imagine a lot of companies, shows, like, albums, etc.
Just didn't make
didn't
it.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they... They don't really. They did do something in a Six Flags in Chicago.
So they
regrouped.
That was Bin Laden's plan the whole
time. Most
of
their business is in Australia.
So
now,
they're like, let's go to Mexico City.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Mexico. It'll be great. So we were in Mexico for a month, and that was fine. And then we ended up going to Malaysia. But the company was so, like, shady that they were like, okay, we've booked you for this month in Malaysia, but we're not going to book your flights until we pay you for Mexico, which makes sense because we hadn't gotten paid yet. But they also were like, yeah, but we have you reserved for this time. And then they just kept pushing back the date because they hadn't paid us yet. But again, 22, and that at the end of the month, they gave me a check for like $6,000. So I was like, this is the most money in the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's go to Malaysia.
So what, like, where's the... Where are the who has jurisdiction over this? Because it sounds like there's a lot of laws being broken. Yeah.
Literally nobody, because it's like, a 1099. Like a 1099, yeah. The way you get paid, it's just a check, and then you say, I'm liable for everything I've ever
so
done.
So they don't have to pay you every 2 weeks or
we
every week.
You don't have to do anything.
They can sell you to a dude for a bottle of tequila.
If we had gotten hurt, they would have been like, oh, well. Like my friend, my best friend who I was with in Mexico, so I had to leave a few days before she did. She ended up stabbing herself in the leg with a knife, and like this was at midnight. They were working really late. And she was wearing like women's jeans, so they were a little tight. And she was like, I don't know how bad this is. Like, I don't know if I need to do something about this. She went to the bathroom and took her pants down, and she was just bleeding like everywhere.
Hey.
And was like, I need to do something about this. So she found the only other woman on the job because I was gone, and was just like, hey, I need you to come look at this, because it was like in her upper thigh.
No,
but just a big, big cut. And the woman was like, we gotta go right now. So they went to like a Mexican urgent care that was just a man asleep on a cot who was wearing like a rock t-shirt and put a lab coat on over it.
Sweet.
And he was like, yeah,
like Vermont
I'll just
hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Vermont hospital.
The lab coat idea will you can like gloss over anything.
You can get away with a lot.
Just throwing a lab coat on top of an AC/DC shirt.
This was in 2001.
This was in 2008. But they during that hospital visit, she had an interpreter who had been with us the whole time, but he was like a super lazy interpreter. Like he was Mexican, but he spoke really good English, but he just kept telling us, oh, you don't need to know what they said.
Yeah.
So like God only knows what they said. But she needed a stitch, and they were like, it's only one stitch, so we'll just do it, no anesthesia, because a local would be another prick. And then it ended up being 3 stitches. So she got 3 stitches without any like painkiller, any local, anything.
Yeah,
it was
just
like, tight, let me go back to work.
Yeah, that my mom's nervous about me going to Mexico next week, but hospitals are great.
Kaplan's going to Tulum, Mexico, which is like Central Park in Mexico. All of New York City goes to this one beach. It's the safest,
it's a different guy in a cot.
Benign place.
It's also, 11 years later, so.
Yeah.
The New York Times has an article about it like every 2 weeks. Like,
also, you weren't taken, she was taken by an employee of the Six Flags. Like, it wasn't like her choice to be like, this is the hospital. I Googled it. It was like, no, we'll take you to a guy.
So what was the Six Flags?
We got a guy for that.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the Six Flags like? Did you get to go around it at all?
So it was actually in limited openness because it was the winter. So they, obviously it's warmer down there, but they still are only open on the weekends in the winter down there. So 5 days a week, nobody was there. We just like went and did our work. And like, it was kind of weird because you're just like in an empty Six Flags. But it was also horrible because we had to eat in the employee dining room, but we couldn't drink the water, obviously. And but then we like found out by like painful measure that we couldn't really eat anything that had vegetables in it because the vegetables were washed in the water.
Oh, yeah.
So we were getting like low key sick like every day. So it's just turned into us eating like Johnny Rockets in the Six Flags, just like gross.
That was open?
Food. Yeah, it was open. There was a couple things that were open. There were only like one or two for the employees that like.
Okay.
Wanted to eat other stuff because they were in, there were a lot of contractors there. They were doing a lot of work on the park.
Okay.
But it was kind of like weird.
Fantasy
like,
to be in an amusement park without. Yeah, it's not.
It's kind of weird. Yeah,
but no rides are going. Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, not during
cool
the
vibe,
week.
Though.
But I have to say, I prefer that to Malaysia because when we were in Malaysia, we were doing a haunted house and they only wanted to close half of it down because they didn't want to lose the business of the haunted house. So we were there from, again, I think it was like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and the park was open from like 10 to 8 or whatever. So for almost the entire day, we had to listen to a spooky CD. Like we had to just listen to like, woo.
You were in the haunted house?
We were in the haunted house.
Oh
they closed off
like
half of it.
The same CD on like
the
repeat.
Same CD. It was a 12-minute loop. Like honestly, I don't know how I'm not an insane person after that. So we were in the dark as well because it was like walls that were like 8 to 10 feet high and then open air.
How many hours a day?
And every like 12. Minute, do you hear people like, wah!
Literally, and they were timed. And so we were painting, and one big thing you need when you're painting is a sink because we have all these brushes and tools and all the stuff that we have to keep clean on a constant basis. We're using water all the time. There was literally not a sink in the Malaysian park. There was in the bathroom that was a 10-minute walk away. But in the actual building that the attraction was in, there was no sink, but there was like a river, basically. Like, it was part of the attraction at one point, but it had been built around because at one point it was like palms and like this water feature or whatever, and then you couldn't see it anymore. They built a wall in front of it, but they were like, you can just use that. So it's like a babbling brook.
Does it go into like a real river?
God only knows.
Oh,
I don't think
no.
so. No,
just paint.
Just paint.
Just going into the drinking system.
But we used to have to wait on the wall, like on one side of a wall, and they would say, wait till somebody walks by and then you can go past them. So you'd hear one scream, like one scream that you knew about, and you'd be like, okay, they're coming around, so let them pass and then I'll dart across. Because like we had to run across the actual path of the scare attraction to get to this water. And like 5 or 6 times I just straight up forgot, busted through carrying paintbrushes, bumped into people, and I'm like a foot taller than all Malaysians.
They freak out?
They would scream. Yeah, I was like, I should be getting extra
money. That's an even better haunted house.
Yeah.
If there's a real person.
Yeah, and my friend Claire has like very tight curly hair, which is like crazy to them. They were like following her around to begin with, so if they saw her they'd be like, ah.
So were you in Kuala Lumpur?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you get to hang out at all?
Sadly, we only had like one day off. So Sunway Lagoon was the name of the amusement park. And it was, we were in a hotel. The hotel was attached to the amusement park. Or no, the hotel was attached to a mall, like a giant mall. The mall was attached to an amusement park. And on the other side of the amusement park was the major university there. So all the employees in the park, in the hotel, in the mall are all college students that spoke incredibly good English because we're their number one country they export to. So you'd go into Starbucks and they'd be like, hey, what can we get started for you?
Yeah.
Be like, this is weird. This is a super weird thing. And it was like 12 hours difference. So you're like, it's 4 a.m. at home. It's 4 p.m. here. And like everyone is speaking English. It was very bizarre. And all their advertising in the mall and everywhere else is all white people, like not white Malaysians, like white.
Like
people
white
like white Americans
whatever.
Or white Europeans or whatever, which is also very, very strange. Like, but we only had a couple days off because the park owner was apparently like a weird man who would power trip all the time and had approved all this work by the company we were doing, but then backtracked and was like, just kidding, you know, we didn't agree to X, Y, and Z, and kept halting the work.
Oh my gosh.
So like 2 days in a row, our bosses were like, don't leave the park, but you have the day off. until we can
you're
work.
You're not out of leave? No, you're like...
Well, they kept saying, we're going to work eventually. It's not the full day. They were like, take the morning. And then they'd say, oh, take
Starbucks.
The afternoon.
Go to, so, where else can you...
Exactly.
Go to the mall.
So we'd be like, cool, we're in Malaysia.
And now, would these guys be... this person Australian, or is this a Malaysian? Or these...
Australian. The boss who was getting mad was Malaysian. Okay. But our boss was like, don't stray. We had one official day of like, this is your day off. Go out.
In a month.
In a month, yeah.
That's wild.
1099s, baby.
But it was good money, I guess?
It was great money for 22.
Yeah.
It was not like... I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah.
Because they also... like. They were all really nice guys, but they were all those type of dudes that are like, I could eat McDonald's for 3 meals a day. That's fine with me. Vegetables are overrated. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Sure. Australians.
And so we just kept eating.
Bogans is what you're
talking exactly.
about, right?
I was like, I don't want to eat this food with you for 3 meals a day. But yeah, it was an interesting time. And we actually interacted with a fair amount of like the college students because they were working in the park and like would help us out and hang out. And they were super nice, but it was just so strange to be halfway across the world and have such good English like everywhere you went.
Yeah, Malaysia.
You've been there, right?
I don't know why they speak good English. I was trying to think of why. Like, historically, it's not British, it's not former British, right?
No, I think they're just trying to appeal to, like...
Everybody there speaks English. Yeah. There's a comedy club called The Crack House.
Oh, okay.
And it's a disaster. They don't book me anyway, so I don't care. I did it once, and then what happened was, when I was there, the week I was there, it was, like, my first time, one of the first, like, headlining things I got. When I started stand-up, it was in China, so that was, like, a regional gig for me, you know? And... also, the exact two nights I was there, Russell Peters was headlining down the street at the arena and had like 30,000 people or something.
Right.
And so obviously like the club I was at, the ticket sales were pretty light because no one knew who I was. But I was at the level where like you just come because it's the club.
You're just like, oh, it's Friday.
We're gonna see
comedy. Whatever.
And then the club ended up blaming me. And so they would never have me back again.
They're like, why don't you have a Malaysian following?
I'm not Russell Peters, dude. Yeah. Like, I never said I was going to be.
Didn't claim that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the audiences all speak English.
Yeah, this must be nice as far as comedy goes.
I've only been to the airport.
Malaysian airport?
Yeah, Kuala Lumpur. I had a great slice of Sabara pizza.
Oh, they have a good Sabara.
Wow,
better than in America.
Sabaro.
And I think they spoke great English. I know.
They
I
had
it.
a Shake Shack. I remember that.
Oh, whoa.
I was
really?
Wow. Yeah. Shake Shack.
The level of American fast food internationally is like off the charts.
It's wild.
They still have, in the Philippines, I was talking about this the other night on stage, but in the Philippines, they still have Shakey's Pizza.
Oh, Shakey's.
Wow.
Like, we don't anymore.
But they're...
they have everything we have, plus Shakey's. They have, more American fast food there than in America.
So the first night we got to Malaysia, this is the type of guys we were working with, and we had worked with them in Mexico, so we knew them at this point. They're like, we'll take you to dinner. It's your first night in Malaysia. And we're like, awesome. They're like, meet us out of the hotel out front. And we're like, great. We think we're going to go somewhere. We have not learned at all, apparently. We're like, great.
We
walk outside, and they're like, great, we're just going over here. And it was Bubba Gump's.
Bubba Gump's?
They have a Bubba Gump's, and it's got all the screens playing Forrest Gump. It's the only Bubba Gump's I've been to. The only Hooters I've been to is in Mexico City with the same company. They were like, yeah, we're going to go take out. We're going to have a meal.
We had someone trying to visit us who wanted to go to Bubba Gump's in Times Square, and we just refused. Like, no.
Is that a thing? Where were they from?
They were from, like, Connecticut or something. We're like, no.
Connecticut.
I was waiting for you to be like,
they had kids.
Yeah. I was a different country.
I don't know. They have kids or they want to, but I was, no, put my foot down.
Just said no.
I just said no. I'll meet somewhere.
Especially when you're in Malaysia, like Malaysian food's so good.
Yeah. I mean, we did have some okay meals that were like, you know, but even those were like in the mall. But that being said, the mall's like four stories and has like
food
a ton
court.
Of
yeah. It's like a giant food court of
yeah,
places.
And like bigger restaurants. They had one restaurant that we kept trying to get them to take us to because all the seats were toilets, and we thought that was funny, but they didn't want to go there.
Good bit. But you can't use it.
No,
you can have actual toilets. That would be very efficient. Never have to miss any part of the conversation.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm here. Let's do it.
Hygiene laws might be an issue.
But then you never, after that, you were done with the...
Wait, like, what was the amusement park like there? Yeah. Did you get to go? Was that open?
That was open. That was fully open. It was...
like popular?
It was pretty popular. It was the... I don't know if it was summer. It was quite warm when we were there.
Super modern. I know that. I'm picturing... like,
yeah, it was
like,
basically they had their own characters. Their big Sunway Lagoon character is a blue duck that wears a tank top and has a yellow floaty around it.
But it's a Six Flags.
No. In Malaysia, it's a Sunway Lagoon.
Oh, Sunway Lagoon. That means it's like a water park as well?
Yes. Yeah, it had a huge water park.
Okay.
Which we actually really wanted to go to, and we did not get to do.
You weren't allowed?
It was all very strange, and we were so young and so, like, happy to have a job and also afraid that they weren't going to send us another check. Like, it was just so, like...
Yeah, they really have you over a barrel.
Yeah, we were just like,
once a month, when you get you home.
Whenever you get home, you
and
might
you have
get
no
paid.
Bargaining power if they just don't want to send it.
Literally.
Because you already did the job.
Yep.
That should be. We watched this documentary last night on.
You watched it?
It's unbelievable on Netflix about a Chinese company, Fuyao, that came to. My wife and I watched it about. They came to Ohio and they opened up a Chinese factory in Ohio, but they hired all the people who had just recently been laid off from GM.
Oh my God.
And. Does like the boss is like this super traditional Chinese like Lao Bat like boss type guy, you know, like pot belly, and just you all work for me now, so you do what I say. Very similar, sounding like, and it's the whole movie is the documentary is about the clash between all these people who had just they're like union
Americans,
people,
union workers,
yeah, from GM, and he's saying on TV on Netflix that like if they try to unionize, I will shut this whole thing down. We will not allow a union. I'm like, I think that's illegal.
You can't say that. It's illegal to say. That.
Yeah, union like busting.
What
right?
a communist country is this, China?
And then, like, John Kasich is like has a video like "Welcome to America." It's all because he's the governor of Ohio.
Oh my god!
Yeah, there's all these crazy people, but it sounds it's like this.
I'll pay you when you're done.
The cars are finished.
Yeah. Well, with them, they were like, "We'll pay you when we get our check," and I'm like, "You owe
That's
me."
That's not the way it works.
So little money compared to what I imagine Six Flags is paying you, or what I hope Six Flags is paying you. Because we started the first job we did was a Six Flags in Chicago, and that was just the Saw movies. So we had to like replicate all the rooms from the Saw movies.
That sounds so scary.
It was very strange because I had seen the first one, and so the biggest thing we had to do was that bathroom. And so they would the people wouldn't walk through it. There
Have you
was
seen
like a
that,
big
Ken?
Window.
No. It's like Eastern Europe, right?
Yeah. Most of the movie is like, I guess it's flashbacks and like snippets, but the two main characters are in this bathroom and they're both chained to various like pipes
for like an hour and a half.
Yeah. And they're like, they've been presented with this challenge of like, you can leave if you saw your fucking arm off or whatever.
Right.
And so that's what that is. So we had to replicate that and we had to like make a big pool of blood that wasn't blood. That was our big paint challenge. And then like, but other stuff like the second movie, there's a pit in the house that they're in that's full of needles. And it's got actually in the movie, like the whole thing is that they're like, needles that could infect them or something or whatever. And somebody has to fall into this pit of like 2,000 like needles. So we had to take a thing of 2,000 needles, remove all the needles. So we just had the syringes and then like shellac them so they looked disgusting.
This is such a specific career.
It's very specific and very odd.
I've never met anyone who does this.
Yeah, and it's those jobs are like the even weirder jobs, like the attraction jobs and like when I was on the cruise ships and all that stuff. It's
cruise ships.
Very, very specific. Yeah, that was like a whole other time.
What were you doing on cruise ships?
So the cruise ship was also an independent production company that the ship paid to provide their entertainment. So the ships were not like a Carnival or like a really big cruise line. They are a much smaller line. And they're 5 stars. And the only way you can be a 5-star cruise line is if the booze is free. So it's an incredibly expensive. Like, I think a 10-day cruise was $30,000, like, as a passenger. Like,
a
absolutely
of
top of the line.
Because they have to just assume everyone's an alcoholic.
Basically. And it's also, but also it was like, I stayed as an independent contractor. So my first time I was in this room and it's a king-size bed with, like, fresh orchids. And you have, like... Every group of four rooms has like a butler assigned to you.
Whoa.
So whatever you eat, they like replace that. And like
this place better be paying you.
They pay, but they also paid this company because they were contracted, the company I worked for. So they also paid me when I got home.
Oh my God.
$100 a day. Like it was like at the end, I got paid. So, but they were
That's
paid.
That's how we got to start paying producer Matt.
When
end of the month,
whenever we
buddy.
Get money, you'll get money.
People aren't paying us yet. How can we pay you? That's the best, like,
yeah, every company illogical. Should just operate that way. Makes perfect sense.
Once our suppliers, they have a 90-day window.
Exactly.
Once they pay us, we'll give you money.
Exactly. So they were producing the entertainment, and basically in their contract it said that every 6 months they had to provide a completely new show with completely new scenery, because some people were so wealthy that they would stay. Well, no, they'd stay.
Oh.
And they'd, like, circumnavigate the globe, because the cruise line also didn't just do, like, New York, Florida, New York, like, whatever. It was in a track. It was, like, in 18 months, they made it all the way around the world.
Wow.
So some people would do that entire thing.
That's a lot of booze. Go around the world getting shit-faced.
Drink your way around the world.
Yeah, I cannot imagine what that costs to do the full...
Because I would, you know, the whole cruise ship mentality is, like, you need to get your money's worth out of the food.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you eat and eat and eat.
But
then it's like, the booze is
on
just
top
like,
of
the
that.
Way there's like meals in between meals and cruises, is that the way it's with booze?
But
just like,
I wouldn't even want to go on that thing, because I'd always be paranoid that, like, I'm paying for that asshole over there to be drunk all the time.
Exactly.
So then I want to be drunk all the time.
That's what I'm saying. You would exactly what we do. So it'd be a real...
You have to, just to make yourself feel better.
Good news is it's all really old people.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, it's the only people that can afford that.
So you can't do a haunted house then, because...
No,
sadly. Your heart attack.
It was all, like, very showy. It was, like, all the entertainment was, like, 45-minute musical reviews that were in a theme. So it was, like, very vague. Like, they're just going to dance and sing a song. And
they're
old
you're working
people
on
are
the
excited.
Next, you're working on the next months while their other ones are
well,
going
so
on.
Well, so we would... they were contracted to provide brand new scenery, but they were also trying to save as much money as possible. So they would have us come on the ship and we'd stay for an entire length of a cruise. So whether it be 10 days, 3 weeks, whatever. And in that time, we'd just repaint the old scenery, change one or two things, get a new prop in, and they'd be like, look, it's new.
Yeah. These all sound like those jobs. You know, like, people who are, like, underwater builders?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, the money's, you go away. And when you're away, you're just away.
You're
for
just
however
away.
Long, like, you're away from society, from life, from everything, for, like, 6 weeks or however long, you come back with a big chunk of money.
Literally, one of them, we did a brand new ship. So it was built in Genoa, Italy. So we spent 3 weeks in Italy. And the first, like, week we were in a hotel, but then we started living on the ship, but it had never sailed. And they kept being like, the Italian dock workers, they're not going to let you sail. There's strikes every day. So we were, like, kind of unnecessarily worried about that. But then we spent 3 weeks sailing, and that sail was amazing because all of the people, all of the guests were reviewers and travel agents and people who wrote for publications.
Oh, yeah. Fam trip, I've heard it called.
Yeah. So there was, like, ice sculptures every day, baby.
Oh,
like,
they roll out the red carpet for them, right?
Yeah, it was very decadent. But there was no way for them to know that I wasn't, like, a fancy person, because we weren't allowed to wear work clothes anywhere that guests were visible.
Oh, awesome.
But because I was a contractor, I could go to all the guest areas. So they just thought I was, like, a very weird young person who, like, had money to go
Sweet.
On this very fancy cruise.
My wife and I went on a cruise during our or for our honeymoon, and in Italy, and they when we walked in, they were like, oh, honeymoon? And we're like, yeah. They're like, yeah, the only people we got, like, some deal, because my mom used to sell those we used to be a travel agent and had sold a bunch of cruises to these people, so they gave us this crazy deal. So they were like, oh yeah, the only young people who go on this are honeymoon, because no one else can afford it. It doesn't make sense for, like, just a regular like couple in their whatever 20s, 30s.
There would always be, like, one, and you could tell that usually they not had been, like, hoodwinked, but they had assumed there'd at least be one other young couple.
Yeah.
And they'd go down to, like, the one bar and be like, anybody?
Yeah.
No? Okay. We weren't supposed to, like, fraternize with the guests, so we had to, like, sit in a corner and just not talk to them, but...
Was there any, like, what were the rides like in Malaysia? Was it different in any way?
Not really. I mean, they just kind of had different characters and a different aesthetic. The other part of the theme park was different because they, or the scare attraction, because they had Malaysian folk, like, frights. Basically, like, folk tales about scary stuff in Malaysia. So there was one that you walked into the room and there were, like, 30 mummies, but they weren't... I don't actually know if the traditional mummy is, like, bound all the way around with the arms included or if the arms are out. These had the arms in.
Arms.
Okay.
So just like a post of a person.
I think that's what
traditional
I've seen.
Traditional mummy.
Arms in?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Because you wouldn't bury someone arms out, would
but
you?
I feel like in movies, their arms out.
That's when they walk.
That's when they wake up.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But so there's
which
all
only
these...
happens in movies.
They come, I don't in think real life. I don't think in real life. Walking come movie. Back to life.
Yeah. So anyway, they.
Why did they make their arms always come out? Yeah. Just
because they're coming to get you. Real,
yeah. And then there's like one hanging strand from
yeah.
the arm.
Yeah.
But the thing they were scared about, you walked in and there was like 40 mummies and they were all fake except for one. And it was called, I don't know what it was called in Malaysia,
cool.
but they basically told us it was called the Hopper. And then they were scared of the one person that would hop. So you'd walk in and then like one person would just kind of lean in like just a little bit. And then they would do one big hop like at you and everyone would lose their minds.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
Yeah, run away.
I can't handle those guys like is it Washington Square Park, like, you know, like the West Village.
Yeah, I know Washington
Park. That are painted or whatever.
Yeah, the painted guys who just they stand on like on a stool. And they look like they're a statue, but then when you get close, they move. And they don't even jump at you?
No, they're just doing
but
their
even
own
that
thing,
freaks
but it's
me
still
out.
Freaky. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
I find it amazing that people still do that, but yeah.
They still get money.
They get money.
Yeah.
I just punch them in the face a few times.
I mean,
times.
You have to have like a good core, because
yeah.
they have
oh,
to stand
yeah.
in a certain location, and a certain spot without moving for like, however, I don't know. I always
at
wonder.
They're not on their phones, you know.
I always wonder what's their like entrance and what's their dismount.
Oh,
like when they're
sure.
done,
how do they
literally
leave?
Just walk off?
Just like, oh, okay.
Right. If you ever witnessed it, it'd be great to just stand there long enough to witness it. Or
I
want like,
that's my main
yeah,
question.
Yeah, just set up a camping chair.
One day I'm going to find out.
He just goes, walks into a taxi and goes home.
Yep. Well, I mean, you have to have a getaway car.
Waits for his Uber.
Right. Waits until there's like nobody. There's the least amount of people left in the park.
Yeah.
It's just like deadbeats and just scampers off.
So were you doing? So you were you in comedy at this point when you were
no,
doing all these kind
no, no. Sadly, I did not have that opportunity.
Yeah. I wonder where that you should definitely go back.
I mean, is your place still, is the exhibit, it's not still in Malaysia, is it?
I should find out because that might actually be there. The Terminator Lurs Hex's gone and the Saw thing is gone because that they do differently every Halloween. So we were part of Scream Fest in Chicago, but I'm not sure about Malaysia. I should try to find out.
If any of our listeners in Malaysia want to go to the amusement park.
Yeah, let
yeah that's true.
What I worked on was called Horrorland.
All right.
Horrorland.
It's probably still there.
Yeah.
You ever it do was... anything for Joanie Park in Allentown?
No, can't say I've been there.
Is that the big one?
That's the big one in Allentown.
In Allentown. Yeah. That's the big one.
All right, we're going to get to the news. Before we do, Emily, how do people find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Walsh E. Walsh. There's underscores, though. It's Walsh underscore E underscore Walsh. And if you are in New York, I'm headlining Sam New York on September 13th.
Sweet. So, this will be out on September 2nd, I think we found out. We were looking ahead. Yeah. September 2nd.
Awesome. And that's about it.
September 13th, Sam
September
New York.
13th,
September 13th
Friday.
Is after September 2nd. Turner
downstairs.
Correct. Downstairs.
All right. Downstairs. Just come right where we are.
Maybe I'll be there.
We got a couple news stories. You want to stick around and do them with us?
Sure.
All right. Sweet. Play the music. First news story of the week comes to us from the New York Post. Only the real news here. Dog fishing, in quotes, is the latest strange dating app trend. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of dog
fishing.
So
we're both married. Are you married or you're in a
no,
relationship?
No, but I've been with my boyfriend
and
5 years.
But you have
5 years.
And you have a dog.
And we have a dog.
We discussed off air.
Five years. Yes. So did you ever, because like my wife and I have been together 6 years, completely miss any dating app culture at all. It came out right after.
We actually, I had been on something, OkCupid, for a little bit, and actually the day that me and my boyfriend got together, he had joined Tinder, separately from us, because we had been friends for a couple years before that. Literally, we're at the bar, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, I just joined Tinder, and then
like, I'll put an end to that.
Interesting.
OkCupid, yeah, that's like quaint. That's like meeting, we met at a park, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It was pre-swiping. I didn't do any of the swiping.
Yeah, that's when it all changed. So this dog fishing is the latest strange dating app trend. So we know catfishing, right?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, dog fishing is when a person borrows someone else's dog for their profile picture in like a Tinder profile. I have a friend who does this. Shout out Dom.
A friend of mine got a date because he was walking my dog.
Oh,
it's the same concept.
Same thing, just in real life.
What
dog
is it?
Fishing.
Why do women?
That's
like,
the
what's
next
it about
level.
A guy with a dog? He's just like something.
Because I think in New York, my friends that are interested in guys with dogs, a big part of it is that they can have the dog experience without the dog responsibility.
Yeah.
It doesn't work the same way if the guy's a kid, though.
I can tell you.
But
dog is above kid in New York City, yeah, for sure.
Because
yeah.
I have a really cute dog, I believe. Her name's Pancakes. She's a little morky. So I feel like I can make some money here if I could find some guys who are interested renting around for apps.
And minimum free dog walk, at minimum.
And
right?
walks.
Yeah.
If they want to walk my dog for me, that's a win-win.
Yeah. Screw, take that wag.
Yeah.
I know this would, I know it would definitely work on my wife, though, if she was single. Because my wife does wag, but like a big part of why she does it, we don't have a dog. Like she just does it as a hobby to go walk other people's dogs.
Yeah.
But 90% of her experience with wag is literally just swiping through, looking at people's dogs.
Oh, wow.
Being like, oh, this dog's so cute.
Does she choose the dog she walks based on how cute they are?
Like 100%. 100%, yeah.
We have a dog walker on wag. We have a normal dog walker that is a friend of ours, but if he's busy or can't make it, we use wag. There's a woman that's walked our dog a few times, and you can send a video while the walk is happening. But it doesn't like
yeah,
save
sword. I get those in wag. Yeah.
So she only takes like, videos of him pooping. And they're like near him when he's pooping. And I'm like, I don't want this.
It's like
at
a really
all.
Early age. When you first get a dog, maybe you're so into having a dog that you would care to see your dog poop.
I guess. I've only had him 3 months and I don't want to see
out.
Him.
Yeah,
poop.
You already passed that phase.
Do you think it's like she's trying to prove that, like, hey, I did my job?
That's I it. Guess.
He's not going to poop in your house?
Yeah.
You can always just tell her no.
Yeah, I guess I should just be like, hey, I don't need those.
Yeah.
Because the app also makes you mark, like, he pooped.
Yeah,
whatever.
I love it. You get a report card.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's literally your phone gets an update that's like, Buckley just pooped. Open the app to find out where.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I've always talked about it. It's so funny. You get it, and it's like a notification.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it immediately, you lose it.
You lose it. But I'm like, why do I care where in the park that he
pooped? Unless it's like on
pooped.
Your neighbor. I hate that neighbor. Poop on their yard. Like,
yeah. Sabotage poops.
So, yeah. And then, they check it off if you peed or pooped. I was like, I hope they peed in a 45-minute walk, and you have the whole, like, GPS markings.
Yeah. It's kind of nuts.
So I wonder if those people are getting, you know, the guys are meeting girls off that.
Like, oh, they definitely walkers. Are. Yeah. So I was saying my friend Dom, I don't know about wag, but he has his like dating profile. Every one of the pictures is him with a dog. He doesn't have a dog.
But then when he meets the girl.
Is it the same dog?
Because that would be confusing.
I think it is because it's like one picture.
They keep dying.
And I asked him, I'm like, what happens when you meet the girl? He's like,
I just say,
I'm like, I don't know if that's
watching
a,
today.
Yeah, but that's what this says. That's not the best move, apparently.
I mean, these people, you're already like, we've discussed on the podcast.
What would you, like, Cap, in the 90s, when you were single, would this be a move?
I remember there was like, you would go, like the dog run was supposed to like
play Cap had a lot of moves.
Yeah, but I didn't have a dog. No, because I always talk about like you want to like have some skill, right? You want to like show off your personality.
Yeah,
I already annoyed the app, so like this is taking a step further. This is like not only enough that I have a picture on an app enough to talk to anybody.
Yeah,
but now I have to fake my picture with an animal that's not in mind.
One of Cap's major like legendary theories, which is 100% true, is he said he would never take a girl to a comedy show. Like on a first date.
To your show or to any show?
To any stand-up
baby turners, you know.
But this is before, he's been married for a decade. As a single man, you should never take a girl to a comedy show because you want to be the most entertaining person.
Yeah, no, it's a bad move.
Also, I would take him to see a band.
Yeah, if it's really good.
Yeah, you want to be the funny one.
Yeah.
And if it's shitty, you're like, oh, why'd you take me to this shitty
And if they
show?
Shit on you, it's even worse.
Yeah, you're going to look bad.
Because you can't fight back as an audience member.
Or if you get like any crowd work and they're like, oh, are you guys dating? And then you have to answer those questions.
That's awkward.
Like,
and if you're not quick-witted at that moment,
then they're going to shit on you.
Yeah,
I've
they
seen
have a
it
mic
so many times.
And you don't? Yeah, it's a disaster.
Because people get it on the Groupon or whatever.
Yeah. Is that what
so
it is?
Don't take your dates
honestly.
On a Groupon.
Don't take your date on a Groupon first date. All right, next story comes to us from the Shanghaiest, one of our favorites. Shandong. Shandong's a place in China. Shandong official force eight... Oh, Shandong officials, excuse me, the government officials forced eight drinking training centers to shut down. So alcoholic drinking training centers are forced to shut down by the government.
Explain this to us.
Yeah, how are you trained to drink?
Because drinking is such an intense part of business culture in China.
Oh, shit.
That as part of like business classes, they teach drinking.
Really?
How to
this
pound
is like
booze. This is, I mean, it's not a bit.
This is like a thing
I've
they really do?
I did business for a decade in China while living there. And it's like, if you can drink, like no business deals get done. So you go to like a dinner meeting at 5 p.m. Everyone drinks from 5 to 8. And then from 8 to 8:05, all business is discussed. And then everyone goes home at 8:06. And so whoever is the least drunk can like command.
Who has the most control?
Is the successful.
Yeah, yeah, you can command the negotiations from 8 to 8.05.
Wow.
So luckily I moved there as a 22-year-old fresh out of University of Miami.
You're like, I can handle this.
Yeah. And so like I was this like wonder kid to all these Chinese government officials.
He's amazing.
Because I could drink. But Chinese high school college culture doesn't prepare you for this at all.
They don't have it. This is why our frat culture and everything is like college culture is great for
you. Yeah, it's great. Because they don't drink at all. In high school and college, and then but they're 23 and they're expected to now all of a sudden know how to
pound
drink.
Drinks,
and so they have these. So the is it like
sleepaway camp or is it like the training center or is it like one day?
Yeah, a bub crawl with them.
Yeah. No, like, I think it's like a month long like thing you go to. Yeah, the different places are one's a drinking technique training center. All these different specific training.
It's way more. It's not like wine appreciation class we take in college, where it's like bullshit. This is like a
building
real thing.
Stamina.
It's,
like over,
it's a real life skill.
Yeah, real life skill. Yeah.
Yeah,
what are like they? What's the drink of choice? Is it like shots? Beers?
Baijiu, which is a clear like 80 proof.
We've tasted it before.
Hard
on the pod.
Liquor. We've had it.
It's
on
pretty
the pod.
Disgusting.
It's really gross. It gets you real hammered in like two shots.
Yeah.
It's like 80 proof, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And they the way they'll drink it, like the way my wife's uncles will drink it, is you fill up a 12-ounce glass and no, like just neat, right? And then throughout the dinner, you drink it, like sip it until the glass is done. And then everybody's just like blacked out drunk.
Blasted,
Yeah. So here are the different ones. So one's a drinking technique training center in Shandong province. One is the drinking talent training base.
So where they scout for
is
talent.
That like tricks? Yeah.
If I want to hire someone to negotiate deals for me, I'm like, I got to see how he drinks.
Got to go to the talent portion of the competition. No,
this is my favorite one, actually. It's the Laowai drinking talent training base, which Laowai means foreigners. So I assume that means like how to drink with foreign culture.
How to play beer pong.
So it's like how to drink beers.
Yeah.
Drink beer.
How do I teach this?
One is, this also could be like a retirement thing for us. We could go work at these training centers if they get open back up. One's the drink all the time training base.
I like that it's just called drink all the time.
Yeah,
I think my family could teach that.
How to drink like 7 days a week.
They drink all the time.
But maybe just be it steady.
Yeah,
you know?
Just keep it chill.
Drink but don't get drink research
And one's
school?
The drink but don't get drink research school, which I think is don't
drunk.
Get drunk.
Drunk. Yeah, yeah.
Drink but don't get drunk. So that's fantastic. Yep. I'm anti the
government. Why were they shut
this.
Down?
I guess the government decided it was uncouth.
Oh, they don't want to have the change.
People had a drink.
They want it.
So they should just all get alcohol poisoning instead.
I guess,
on the first week on the job.
You know, we're a pro-Chinese government pod, but but in this one, I have to disagree with
you. Is this what they're protesting about?
this is what the Hong Kong protests are happening over.
They're marching.
I'm a little ill-informed, I have to be honest.
They're in the airports demanding booze.
Yeah.
They like, want the drink but don't get drink center to reopen.
Yeah,
President drink but don't get drink.
You've got it. Yeah. Listen to the people.
Put it back
if
together.
If you just show up there and listen to them.
Put it back together,
give them what they want.
Yeah.
Last story of the week comes to us from Insider.com. Is this even real, Insider.com?
I mean, it says it on the piece of paper. It must be real.
Women are more productive in warmer offices because it makes their brains perform better.
Interesting.
Study shows.
That's why we keep it nice and chill.
If you say study shows at the end of anything, it can be.
Well, there's a lot of contention with offices and women's temperatures because most offices, they're set for like an overweight man's temperature.
That's what this says.
And so all women are cold all the time.
Are you insider.com?
Yes, I am. This is my blog. I am very passionate about temperature.
It says the study conducted by researchers from the United States and Germany published in the Journal of PLOS One, I don't know what that means, found that women perform better on mathematical and verbal tasks when the temperatures are higher. They also say that temperatures were set to men in like
I was
going to
say, would men also perform better? They're just not cold because it's for them? Like,
I guess it's a fat man thing, right?
Do men perform better when it's chillier? Or do we...
So in comedy, they say that everyone's better. Everyone's more alert when they're cold. That's why they keep like studios.
Right, like Letterman and Colbert.
But I feel like I have like, I don't know if I 100% believe that because if it's cold enough for them to cross their arms, like because I've been in that situation and then I'm like, you're
That's
tighter.
True.
Your body's tighter if you're that cold.
That's true. But I feel like when it's too hot, everyone's like falling asleep.
But yeah, they're like lethargic. And yeah.
So
it should be like tennis. They make you comedians play like different surfaces. I want to see it. 60
degrees.
You're
right.
I want to see
like
75.
Clay court.
The great comics can do it at all. Can dominate all surfaces.
You know what does that?
There's something to be said for that.
The Seattle and the San Francisco comedy competitions, which used to be big in like the 80s,
they
now they don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
They change the environment.
Elements. Yeah.
So you like one night you're at a yacht club. The next night you're at a theater. The next night like you're going to all these different places to see like
Nadal of the yacht club scene. He always wins that comedy night. He just dominant.
Then what? But, yeah, it's the Elon Gold of whatever. You know, Jewish community center.
I think, but. It's weird. They always say this, but like, I'm not a big fan of it being super cold. Maybe.
Well, I don't like it either. Airplanes are the worst.
Airplanes are cold, yeah.
I have to bring a sweatshirt. I'm going from like here to Miami and I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
Yeah, there's always a hoodie. And you're like, I don't need this here. I don't need to where I'm going, but I have to have it for the airplane.
And then on like Spirit Airlines, they crank up the cold temperature and then sell you blankets.
Oh,
it's a real scam.
They're tricksters.
That was the biggest benefit to the heart attack I haven't mentioned was I got out of a Spirit Airlines flight. So
you did?
I was supposed to fly Frontier. But I think they're like this.
They're pretty much
my original Mexico trip that got canceled. That's where I'm going in now.
Oh,
it was I lost the flight. Wouldn't let me. They wouldn't give me the ticket back because they said that you had to rebook it within like 90 days
for with like a doctor's health note. Emergency.
Yeah, I had a heart attack, and this first 90 days I wasn't like I couldn't pick like a date. I'd have to book
another
date.
Let me get make sure I get that Mexico trip just, like, back on.
It was a really cheap ticket. I just let it. So, but it's
They didn't give you your money back.
No,
that's it. Let's boycott.
Let's dock Frontier.
We're doxing you, Frontier. We're gonna put your address online.
Yeah. Amazon. And
does
Frontier.
That work for businesses? I feel like you can just find their addresses.
Yeah, you don't have to put their address. They have a website.
All right, let's dox them.
Is there a place to go and be mad at Frontier Airlines? Probably not.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Emily, thank you for doing the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cap, what should we do?
I don't know. It's a little warm in here. I'm forgetting my line. No, let's get lost.
Get lost! Lost in America! Lost in America! Lost in America! Lost in America! Lost in America!
Lost in America! Lost in America! Lost in America! When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.